Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. July is busting loose with the sights and sounds of sharks on National Geographic. No wonder. Shark Fest, round 10, is underway. Executive producer Tracy Rudolph Jackson joins me next. Also ahead, News Note Quickies, our new classic trivia question, and let's give pioneering game show host Adam Wayne from Musical Chairs a round of applause. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker and Tuner Radio. I'm on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many other sites. It's just in. Tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to all the good stuff whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two if you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. 80 beautiful degrees in the New York metro area, and we welcome you on this Monday afternoon to the program all about TV's current and future. We have got a great trio of episodes coming your way this week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and we'll tell you more about the other two episodes in a little bit. We have a great guest for you in the hour ahead, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Pick up the phone, dial in, and, of course, use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. Chat room open for business, too, and you can find it at SimonApple04, and that is at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. While the promo is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Just click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn screen, follow the instructions. Other people can be live with you. Tracy Rudolph Jackson will join us live from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., talking Shark Fest at 10 after these news notes. And we give us some breaking news. Hulu has renewed Only Murders in the Building. That's the popular dramedy, comedy, mystery starring Martin Short, Steve Martin, and Selena Gomez for a third season, 2023. And if you were going to tune in TBS tonight to see the second season premiere of Chad, you won't. In fact, you will not see the second season at all. Warner Bros. Discovery, the parent of TBS, has announced that they will not run the second season. They're going to try to find a new home for it. Why? Because Chad is going to be one of the victims of Warner Bros. Discovery chopping off $3 billion off its budget because of the situation with the merger over the last couple of months. So anyway, no Chad tonight, no second season on TBS, and Warner Bros. Discovery is going to try to give Chad a home somewhere else. We will keep you posted. Now the news, no quickies. Season 2 of The Kardashians is set to begin September 22nd on Hulu. Amber Brown, Apple TV Plus adaptation of the popular book series, kicks off July 29th. Bonnie Hunt, the popular actress and comedian, serves as writer-director. Pluto TV now has a 24-7 channel devoted to Let's Make a Deal replays. That's the CBS Daytime Hour version hosted by Wayne Brady. Controversial Netflix nonfiction series Indian Matchmaking returns August 10th. 8-hour-long episodes will make up Season 2. Yet another second season of development this afternoon. CNBC is greenlighting a new round of Money Court for early 2023. Kevin O'Leary of Shark Tank returns as the dispute mediator, joined by Bethany Frankel of Real Housewives fame. And Dark Horse Comics title Iana, Child of Wonder, will be an animated series co-presented on HBO Max and Cartoon Network either next year or in 2024. And that is news notes for today. With all the TV channels you can get all over the place, there's a lot of programming, a wealth of programming every month devoted to various species of the animal kingdom, or as Mitchell Loma used to say, the wild kingdom. However, July in recent decades has become the place to find specific programming about a very specific member of that kingdom, the shark. We've got Shark Week for decades on the Discovery Channel. There's the Sharknado film on Sci-Fi that ran and reran there for years. And now there is Shark Fest, which last night began its 10th year on National Geographic. And this time around, it's going to be a four-week festival with programs premiering mostly on Nat Geo and Disney Plus, but also running on everywhere from ESPN to Hulu to Nat Geo Wild, Fast Hours Nat Geo Mundo. And in one case, one of the most popular Shark Fest episodes ever will run later this week on ABC. Joining us live in an interradio exclusive from Nat Geo's headquarters in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., the executive producer of the festival, Tracy Rudolph Jackson. Tracy, happy to have you with us.
Hi, Simon. How are you?
Very, very fine, thank you. What is Shark Fest all about? How do you see it, particularly in the midst of being in year 10?
Well, after 10 years, I'm excited that our viewers keep coming back. I think Nat Geo became the number one destination for factual shark content, and I think everything you see with and promoting Shark Fest really reflects that, and viewers truly appreciate that honesty and entertainment in their programming. We have a lot of shows this year that really highlight that jaw-dropping science, you know, and sort of behind-the-scenes work that a lot of our international research community continues to do year after year. And I think viewers really just truly appreciate some of that factual value and that entertainment all in one.
Why has sharks, particularly great white sharks, but other brands too, why have they become such an amazing television draw? You know, on your service, elsewhere, it just seems that July is like, it's become like the month to see the shark in action.
It does, as a matter of fact. I mean, there's nothing truly more amazing, I think, than sharks, their beauty, their power, their mystery. And I think a lot of viewers gravitate towards that. Obviously, the summer months, everyone's out in the water and they get a chance to really sort of appreciate a lot of the ocean's beauty for what it's worth. But I think at the same time, sharks have just become a little bit associated with that summer time frame. But they are a year-round animal, and I think viewers have really come in to try and understand what is a misunderstood predator and something that's really feared. And so I think the action-packed programming and some of the pieces that come along with understanding a little bit more about their mysterious world is really intriguing to our viewers.
So how long does it take to put a specific annual festival in the making? When do you start working on, here's the shows we're going to do, here are the explorers that we're going to send out on the trail around the world. Here's the subject matter. Here's how it's going to play out. Is there a modus operandi to this?
You know, I think every year is a little bit different. We have an amazing senior manager of development, Jesse Springer, who oversees all of our Shark Fest development. And we work in tandem with her and her team. And I think every shark show is a little bit different. We take the time to cultivate, you know, true science and really get a chance to dig in to see if there's a story that really relates to factual truth. Each one of our different scientists and experts who are out there doing different shark studies and part of their research, some of those research projects really take years, and they are years in the making. Some of these programs are 2-3 years before we actually see them in production and to make air. And some of them are really quick action-packed turnarounds. Science continues to change every year with new behavior and new information that becomes available. And I think what's been wonderful is that we have a great roster of experts and scientists who have wanted to come back year after year and participate in this amazing event. And what they bring with that is just this spectacular opportunity to really see the varying changes in shark behavior, in species, in new discoveries. And I think as we get through every single year, we keep finding more and more information that is new. And that's just an amazing place to be in, where we can have all of these different experts come to us and say, hey, we just found this, or we just saw, you know, this great new nursery. What do you think? And it's just a great opportunity for us to say, okay, I think the audience would love that too. So I think every year we see that some of the programs are changing in the pace of how quickly we can make them, and the viewers just want to see more and more.
And who comes up with the ideas? Is it the explorers or the scientists themselves? Do you get any from viewers? Do you find, like, interesting stories in newspapers or magazines?
It comes from a variety of places, and I will say all of those things. I think we have an amazing group of producers and production companies that bring great ideas to us, knowing what we're looking for. We see articles, we see video that viewers send us, we see video that our scientists send to us, and even they will bring ideas to the table. And I'd say it's a group effort when it comes down to how these are created. I think Jesse and the development and production team always come in with a handful of ideas. You know, what have we done? What more can we do? And I think every year there are more and more viewers, and a lot that's going on, I think, now with so much available under social media and some of the other pieces, that so many videos are available to so many people that a lot of people start to grab onto them quickly.
You're hearing Tracy Rudolph Jackson. She's the executive producer of the 10th anniversary Shark Fest Festival going on right now on National Geographic, which is available on cable and satellite, and it's also running on other channels too, including Disney+, which runs the shows usually the day after, some cases simultaneously or shortly after, but it's also running on Nat Geo Wild, sister network of Nat Geo, Spanish on Nat Geo Mundo. Some of the shows will also be running on Disney XD, on Hulu, and in one case, later on this week, we'll talk about in a moment, the most popular special so far in Shark Fest history will run later this week on ABC. Tracy joins us live from Nat Geo's headquarters in Washington, D.C. Simon Applebaum, yours truly, is up the road from there in Nueva York, where it's 80 degrees at the top of the hour. Delighted to have you with us for the first of three episodes this week of Tomorrow Be Televised. If you have a question or comment for Tracy, make that call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Wednesday, our program will come to you a little later than normal, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. My special lead-off guest will be the host of Firing Line, which on July 1st marked 5 years on CBS stations nationwide, Margaret Hoover. We'll talk to Margaret about how Firing Line is doing and how it's different from the original that William F. Buckley did for so many decades on both commercial and public television. And what's it like for a political commentator to become an interviewer over the last 5 years? Margaret Hoover from Firing Line will join me 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. That's Wednesday, right here exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Something really caught my attention is one of the episodes that's on tonight is called Sharks versus the World. And it sort of reads like a Dr. Phil episode, don't you think?
It does. I mean, what I love about most of our programming is that it always keeps you going. You know, when we look at these different predators that come out in their predation behavior, whales, tuna, surfers, I think there is a really interesting confluence of people, animals, and sharks that continues to present itself. And sometimes we see some of these clips in these amazing moments where we can feature them. Sharks are everywhere. They've been here for millennia. So how do we take a look at this different behavior? And when we capture it, sort of, it is really an interesting tale of being ultimate survivors.
Now, also tonight, ESPN is getting into the game, and I do mean game, with an episode, a special called Game of Sharks. And it's actually matching up different breeds of sharks in like a series of games. Like, for example, can one type of shark beat another type of shark in a 100-meter dash? How did that come about?
This is a wonderful idea that came from our National Geographic Studios group. When we were looking to work with our partners at ESPN, we thought, what a great way to sort of look at the amazing characteristics of sharks, right? Our world's our fastest, greatest bite force. Who would win when you take a look at the greatest bite force? You know, when you talk about speed, does the great white versus the Mako really get a chance to win overall? And so the team there came together and thought, you know, what would be a wonderful way to say, okay, here's a great lineup of featuring sharks, these amazing characteristics that each one of them has, and how might they match up to one another? And we were really fortunate that they were able to get Nina Kimes from ESPN to come in and be the voice for this show. And I think it really, really matches up nicely when you take a look at what would be a species competition if you pitted some of these different species against one another in these categories.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, you know, how these different breeds of shark match up in sports events like the 100-yard dash or relay or whatever, really races. It's a very, it's just you have to just visualize it for now. See what happens. Again, that is on tonight on ESPN, and then we'll run later on some of the other Nat Geo associated services. Of all the programs
Correct.
That you have done in this festival, the one that seems to be the most popular in terms of viewership is going to be on ABC this Wednesday. It's called Shark Beach. And it features a man who probably more than most human beings is so into the shark psychology. I think it's Chris Hemsworth. How did you find this person? And for those people who have not seen this special, why do you think it, what is it all about, and why did it become the most popular of the series so far?
Well, you know, the Chris Hemsworth, he is a popular gentleman. This particular show came to us, I think it was an interesting time during COVID as we were looking at shark shows and sort of came to us with Newtopia and took a look at this and said, you know, there were a lot of shark attacks that were happening during this time period, specifically off the east coast of Australia. And I think it became really clear to us how much he was invested in understand a bit more about sharks and humans as they begin to overlap more and more along the different waters, part of that being warming coastal waters as they bring some of the juvenile great whites and other sharks closer to various coasts. He was very much interested in understanding more about what those behaviors were, understanding, you know, is there a way for sharks and people to basically live in tandem with one another peacefully, right? How do we save the sharks and how do we keep people safe? And it was a really impressive journey that I think of time and place. People just love sharks. Everyone loves Chris Hemsworth, and the two were able to really come together to create what felt like a genuine program of wanting to understand more about the species.
And it should be pointed out, two other things to point out. One is from Utopia, the wonderful documentary producer did the One Strange Rock series for Nat Geo. And it also has an appearance by one of the great followers of sharks with her late husband Ron, Valerie Taylor, who, of course, contributed a lot of great underwater cinematography mm-hmm. for Jaws, for other movies. She is an amazing, amazing human being in terms of anything you want to know about sharks, how they operate, and how they can be conserved. For the rest of the world to see, that's your person.
That is. Valerie was an amazing contributor to this special. The second she heard we were doing this program, she wanted to participate. She really, I think, carved the way for understanding more about sharks and shark conservation. And she and Chris had a wonderful opportunity to dive and see this beautiful cove with nurse sharks and just understand and witness more of their regality and what makes them an apex predator in the ocean. And I think that moment together was really special, that the two of them were able to come together and really showcase what it's like underwater, you know, with these animals and creatures in their natural habitat. And it was a lovely moment, I think, to have them together in this show.
Is it fair to say that this 10th festival is more psychological oriented than others? And I say this because in looking at the schedule, there are these interesting specials like Sharks That Eat Everything coming on Thursday night on Nat Geo, and later in August on Nat Geo Wild, which is all about the idea of, you know, sharks, it's proposed that, you know, sharks can not just eat people, they can eat anything, and how they do that, including other animals. And then there's another special coming out next week called Jaws Versus Boats, where you see these YouTube videos where you have these different varieties of sharks that are attacking boats. It's like the latest in the warfare against us human beings.
Yeah, I mean, the sharks, psychology of sharks is a very interesting topic. I think what you find with a couple of these different shows is that sharks, as they learn to understand predation, juvenile sharks specifically, they're trying things out. They don't eat people, but they do go ahead and chomp down on, as you can say, they go for hippos, they'll go for crocs, some of these really unique and interesting places where they are trying out predation in a new way. And in some of these cases, you can see where those animals fight back and want to reclaim that territory. But I think the interesting part of the psychology there is understanding predation and some of those various characteristics of where they hunt, how they do it, and what they're looking for in a meal. And I think scientists continue to try and understand where sharks and humans start to interact and overlap with one another in the water. But the predation study of sharks is one that continues and is really interesting. That's where you see, even in great whites and tiger sharks and some of the others, that continually predate on a variety of animals. And tiger sharks seem to be more hungry for a variety of items than other sharks. But it is magical to witness that power and grace as they come through. And there's a reason they've survived for this long. They know how to hunt for food.
Shark Fest 10 is running this week and the next few weeks on Nat Geo, available on cable and satellite. And for the first time, it's running on other channels as well, such as Disney Plus, usually day after a show runs somewhere. Plus, it's on sister Nat Geo networks, Nat Geo Wild and Nat Geo Mundo in Spanish. Some programs will be on ESPN, some will be on Disney XD, some will be on Hulu. At least one, as mentioned, with the Chris Hemsworth special will be on later this week on ABC. And that's not all. If you want to catch up on some of the best of the previous 9 Shark Fest, there is a new Fast Ad Supported channel that ABC is putting together, and that's going to be running this month and next month on smart TV sets and smart TV devices with more than 80, that's right, 80 jaw-dropping, as they like to say in the press release, series and miniseries and specials. We are speaking with the executive producer of Shark Fest and Nat Geo, Tracy Rudolph-Saxon, joining us live from the company's great headquarters in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. For questions or comments, any minutes with Tracy, make a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. 2.5 years ago, we introduced you to a woman named Olga Nesterova. Disclaimer, I've known her for years for a number of different reasons. And at the time, this was early 2020, she was going to launch a new programming service called OneNest, O-N-E-S-T, on smart TV sets and smart devices. Then the coronavirus pandemic came along, and that got scrapped. However, she kept to her vision, and last past Saturday, OneNest finally launched on Roku and Amazon Fire TV with more smart TV sets and devices running the service this fall. Friday on Smart TV Televised, Olga will join us along with some of the people producing content for the service. That's OneNest Network with Olga Nesterova and company Friday, 3:10 Eastern, New Pacific, our regular time, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. In terms of doing this for 9 years, by the way, with Shark Fest number 10, let me change that a bit. With Shark Fest number 10, is there, I would think that every festival has one program that is going to be a sleeper, that is going to sort of, by surprise, capture the attention of the audience. Is there a candidate for Shark Fest 10 among this bunch of specials?
Well, this is sort of like picking a favorite child. It's really hard to say which one will be the family favorite. But I think for me personally, Camo Sharks, and this premiered last night on National Geographic. This is an amazing show. I love this one. It has Dr. Ryan Johnson and PhD candidate and newcomer Gibbs Kuguru, who really focused in this on trying to find out if great white sharks can change color at will to enhance their predatory abilities, whether or not they're able to activate these dermal cells to change and camouflage their color when they're predating, whether they are underwater or above in gray or dark skies. They're looking to understand if sharks at the end of the day are in fact using this to their advantage. And it's actually a really surprising and wonderful look at what is a new territory of science, and introducing Gibbs working with Ryan, and they're actually a really great combo. The two are amazing together and have a lot of fun trying to investigate this one.
And if you missed the premiere on Nat Geo last night, you can catch at least two more times. It will be running Saturday night on Disney XD at 10 p.m., 9 Central, and it will be running on Nat Geo Wild August 1st, which is, by the way, when we have our 50th anniversary special. And it'll be at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time, 8 Central. Is Shark Fest a full-time, 24/7 year-round deal for you?
Not completely, but it often feels that way, and in a good way. We have so many shark shows that are coming. I'm very fortunate to work with a team of producers in-house in addition to a lot of production companies who all adore and love working on shark programming. So it does take a team to work together on this one. We have a few executive producers, Drew Jones, Janet Vissering, Pam Carrigal, and Brianna Heppner. And they're all a wonderful team of producers who come in and work and who are as much in love with sharks as I think the rest of us are. And together we're able to put together an amazing lineup along with our friends at Nat Geo Studios to bring some pretty great shows to everybody.
Yeah. And I also want to point out that in addition to everything you're doing on screen, there's also a very exciting thing you do off screen, which is trying to encourage more scientists of color to be part of proceedings.
Absolutely. We are really excited because we partnered last year with Minorities and Shark Sciences, and they're really with us to encourage diversity and inclusion in shark sciences. Really with the goal of inspiring that next generation of scientists. We have several members of MIS who are participating this year, Jasmine Graham, Jada Elcock, Candace Fields, Carly Jackson, and more. I think the wonderful goal of sort of really lending collaboration with them with on-screen talent as consultants for programming and development of shows and is really important, I think, as we continue to bring inclusion to the forefront and showing the great diversity that already exists in shark science is really important. And I'm really excited because I'm hoping that this is going to continue to grow with us in the coming years.
So while you get ready to pull Shark Fest 11 together, what other Nat Geo projects are you working on?
I'm working on a variety of shows. My My particular roster includes great shows like Critter Fixers, which is a wonderful new show we have on Nat Geo Wild and also on Disney Plus. We're getting ready to celebrate Dr. Pohl's 200th episode coming up later this month. And also working on a wonderful series with the team at Apricot Lane Farms called the Biggest Little Farm Series for Disney Plus. So no shortage of amazing and wonderful things that we have coming down the pike.
And remember, if you want to catch Shark Fest, you can this week, all this week, and the next few weeks on Nat Geo, on Disney Plus, on other networks owned by the Walt Disney family, such as Disney XD, Hulu, ESPN, the two Nat Geo sister services, Nat Geo Wild and Spanish Nat Geo Mundo. And don't forget, if you want to catch one of the most popular of all, Shark Beach with Chris Hemsworth, it's on ABC this Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, and 8, of course, Pacific. And it'll run on Nat Geographic July 21st, that's next week, 10, 9 Central time. For more details about Shark Fest and the service online, you go to natgeotv.com. That's natgeotv.com. And, of course, check your local listing for where Nat Geo is playing in your area on cable and satellite and where Disney Plus is playing, don't forget, on smart TV sets, smart TV devices, and multi-channel bundles. Tracy Rudolph Jackson, thank you again for joining us. Congratulations on reaching 10 with Shark Fest and hopefully many, many more years to come.
Thank you for having me. It's been great. We appreciate it. Take care.
Absolutely. You're welcome. Take care. Have a super Shark Fest week and month.
Thank you. You too. Happy Shark Fest, everyone.
Tracy Rudolph Jackson joining us live from Nat Geo headquarters in Washington, D.C. More Survivor Televised is coming away, but first some words for our fine sponsor at Audible.com. One of the most popular hit new shows right now is The Terminal List, based on the best-selling book by Jack Carr. The critics may not like it, but certainly the fans do. They are just saying Rotten Tomatoes up with wonderful thumbs up for that series. And if you've never heard the book, or seen the book, or read the book, you can now, because it's available at Audible.com, and it can be what you use for a one-month trial of the service. Remember, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and certainly inspiration. Over 250,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now, Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune Radio, our various podcast affiliates, and our website, tomorrowwillbetelevised.onpodium.com. All you have to do is sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. It's audibletrial.com/televised. And when you do, you get one free audio book, that one-month trial, great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com, and while the supply lasts, very important, maybe life-saving, health and wealth information. And if you're an Amazon Prime member already, two things. First, you get a second book in your one-month trial, one of the great Audible originals that includes original audio series, podcasts, plus the best of Broadway, off-Broadway, regional theater, great one woman and one man shows. And if you do subscribe to Audible.com, your first 3 months are free. That's right, your first 3 months are gratis. So for all the details on both the trial and your first 3 months of a subscription being free, go to audibletrial.com/televised. It makes a great gift for you or someone you love. This is Tomorrow Be Televised. We are the program all about what's happening on the tube. We're with you Mondays. Fridays also, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific. And this Wednesday, we're with you at a special time, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. My guest, Margaret Hoover, the host of Firing Line, where most PBS stations run on Friday nights, many cases after Washington Week in Review. We'll talk about Firing Line turning 5 on July 1st, what's ahead this coming season, and Hoover's own development from political commentator, both on off-camera to on-camera interview, and what she wants to do in year 6 of Firing Line. That's on Wednesday, special time. Excuse me, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific here on Tomorrow We Televise. And 3 weeks from today, join us for our 15th anniversary episode, special two-hour edition coming your way, 3 to 5 Eastern, noon to 2 p.m. Pacific. We hope to have each hour a special key television executive for the full of each hour. We'll only have one commercial break. That'll be at the bottom of each hour, so we have as much time as possible, I guess. As much time for you to chime in with your thoughts on phone, by phone, and chat room. That's 3 weeks from today, very special 15th anniversary edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. We kick off year 16 in style. Coming up next, our contributing question of the week. We will spotlight the question that we've had the last 2 weeks, give the answer to that. We have a brand new question we're going to offer for the first time and with three prizes in play. And then we're going to showcase a marvelous human being that pioneered as the first African-American game show host. His name is Adam Wade. In 1975, he broke the color barrier for game shows with a program produced here in New York called Musical Chairs. about that and more after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogforfree.com, Spreaker.com, and TuneIn.com. Together, reach over 70 million listeners around the world every month and growing. If you want a unique musical experience and entertainment experience, check out Paragon Radio tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Paragon Radio, 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And don't forget, best of each hour 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised, coming your way on this Monday afternoon, the 11th of July, 2022. Tom Nappa with you live from New York, 79 degrees at the bottom of the hour. And we'd love to hear from you, too, so give us a call with a TV photo, too. All you have to do is hit that phone at 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Now time for our classic trivia segment. Unfortunately, nobody got the question that we posed over the last 2 weeks, so nobody wins our pair of prizes in play. That's the Loud House Christmas card set from Nickelodeon and the wonderful best-selling novel, The Unexpected Danny Green. The question was, on Jay Leno's version of You Bet Your Life, that's the classic show that Groucho Marx used to do, and of course Bill Cosby later on, if you say the secret word, how much do you and your partner win? The answer, $500. That's the same amount, by the way, that was in the Bill Cosby version several decades before. And we also would have accepted $250 because when you have $500 and you slip it to two people, it's $250. So the answer again, $500. If you say the secret word, that's what you and your partner split up on the Jay Leno version of You Bet Your Life, now in syndication on local TV stations across the country. Here in New York, it's on WNYW Channel 5 at 7:30 Eastern Time, and it will be going to a second season this September. So let's give you a new classic trivia question, and we have three prizes now in play. Once again, we've got The Unexpected Danny Green, we've got the Nickelodeon Loud House Christmas card set, and this week we are adding the wonderful book we talked about with that super PR whiz on Friday, the man, wonderful Dan Harari, or Harari, which sounds like Ferrari. And his book is called Flirting with Fame, a highly publicist recalls 50 years of celebrity close encounters, published by Bear Manor Media of Orlando, Florida, also available on Amazon. So here is the question. So get your thinking caps on. You could be our latest classic trivia winner and win all three prizes if you're first to answer this. On the 1960s Batman TV series, what villain was played by George Sanders, Eli Wallach, and the controversial film director Otto Preminger? What Batman TV villain in the 1960s was played by George Sanders, Eli Wallach, and controversial film director Otto Preminger? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember to include your name and where you're from. And if you're first with the right answer, you win all three prizes. If we don't get a winner by the end of today, we'll post the question tomorrow on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebound, Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in, so do so, and all the very best. One more time, here's the question. What Batman TV villain from the 1960s was played, all three of these folks played him, George Sanders, Eli Wallach, and controversial film director Otto Preminger? So get that answer in ASAP, and you can become our next classic trivia winner. In the 1970s, I was at home in the summer between my freshman year and my sophomore year at American University. And on June 16th of 1975, at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, a new game show launched that was produced here in New York at the Ed Sullivan Theater. It was called Musical Chairs. And the host was a man named Adam Wade, who was a singer, an actor, and a number of years ago, a contestant on To Tell the Truth because of his work alongside the great scientist and the inventor of the polio vaccine, Dr. Jonas Salk. Adam Wade, in the early 1960s, was a musical star. He had three songs, at least three in the top ten. But on June 16th, 1975, when Musical Chairs premiered at 1 p.m. on CBS, Adam Wade was much, much more. He was groundbreaking. Adam Wade became the first African-American and probably host of color on a daytime or nighttime game show. He got great reviews for doing the show. The show was very simple. The idea was three contestants would hear a song performed by a musical artist, or group. At one point, the song would stop, and you would have to fill in the lyric of the next line. You get three choices. Person that did it the best, won the most money, came back the next day to face two new challengers. Adam had great backup support for the show. The show was executive produced by one of the great music producers of all time, Don Kirshner. Jerome Schnur, who had done a whale of game shows from The Name of the Fame in the 1950s to Everybody's Talking in the 1960s. The director was Linwood King, who did game shows, did newscasts for both CBS and for WCBS TV here in New York. The set was designed by Tom John, the man that did The Wiz and many other great Broadway shows. And the musicians were led by Derek Smith, wonderful band, great arrangements, and most importantly, the musical performers were from all walks of the musical life. People like the Spinners, Irene Cara, Larry Kurt, the original Tony on West Side Story, Ernestine Jackson, who was in the Broadway cast of Raisin, Jane Oliver, the wonderful cabaret artist, who I once saw in concert at Lincoln Center, one of my favorite nights ever, seeing a musical performance with the family, and saw her afterward backstage, and many, many more. The show was taped at the Ed Sullivan Theater at night, and the audiences loved it. They loved Adam. They loved his enthusiasm. They loved his great way with contestants, his great way with musical artists. At least once he would do a song, and he let it rip. The reaction from the audience was absolutely fantastic. And he also liked to intro the commercial breaks for things like, well, we're going to pause for the cause, or we're going to go scream for the green, et cetera, et cetera. You never saw somebody with so much enthusiasm, so much joy, hosting a game show, hosting an opportunity like this as Adam Wade. And there was a problem. Because at the time, if CBS or any television network premiered a daytime show, game, soap opera, talk, whatever, at 1 o'clock, it was almost like the kiss of death. Why? Because it was a time period that not every station would play it at. For example, some stations would not play musical chairs at 1 o'clock. They played at 4 o'clock. Up against Oprah Winfrey, or up against other popular daytime talk shows, interview shows, talk variety shows, and more, or against local newscasts, or against local public affairs programs. So there's no consistency in terms of where CBS stations were running it. And when I came back to American University in the fall of 1975, and I wanted to watch musical chairs, turned on the local CBS affiliate WTOP, now WUSA, Channel 9, at 1 o'clock, guess what? It wasn't there. Where was it? It was on rival station W. It was on Channel 7. That's right, WMAL, Channel 7. And it was on at 9:30 in the morning, right after A&M Washington, with AU graduate Ed Walker, the wonderful DJ, as co-host. Again, why? Because the local station had other programming that they would run at 1 o'clock. So they were able to get ABC, the local station MAL, Channel 7, to run at 9:30 in the morning. So it was on a tape delay, which meant if you wanted to watch the Friday show, you had to wait until the following Monday, and so on and so forth. And there was also another problem. At least one CBS station in the South decided we're not going to run musical chairs at any time because of who hosted it, Adam Wade. Shades of what happened more than a decade earlier, when many CBS stations in the South and Southeast would not run the controversial series East Side, West Side at night on Monday night at 10 o'clock because of Cicely Tyson having a role as the first African-American lead person of color to have a supporting major role in a primetime drama series. And yet, in spite of the obstacles, Musical Chairs was able to get a fandom. It was able to get a strong fan audience. And people loved the musical acts. They loved the fact that it was game show and variety show mixed up in a great way. So much so that something very special happened in the fall of 1975. For the first time since the 1950s, and I don't think it's ever been done ever on the network level, there was a sponsor for a daytime game show, and that sponsor was Kraft. That's right, Kraft of the Kraft Music Hall days, Perry Como, other Kraft shows, Great quality drama series, anthology shows, 1950s. That's right, Kraft sponsored musical chairs. They would have a billboard at the beginning and the end of the show. They would have their commercials run throughout. And they loved it. The sponsor loved it. And yet, it wasn't enough. On October 31st, 1975, musical chairs went on the air on CBS for the last time. Nearly 4 months on the air. And unfortunately, Adam Wade did not get a second shot to host a game show. He should have. I think it would be marvelous on the revival of Name That Tune or Face the Music, later in syndication, in prime time. He would have been great in other game shows also. Why? Because he had joy, he had a lot of fun, he had enthusiasm, he had great rapport with everyone around him on the set, contestants, production crew, producers, etc. However, Adam did get something out of being on musical chairs. He got his wife, who he had met on the series. And they had a great, wonderful marriage and family ever since. And in the meantime, Adam Wade had a lot of great guest starring roles in film and television, including films like Shaft, Across 110th Street, the Oscar-nominated Claudine with Diane Carroll and James Earl Jones, as well as many primetime television shows, and some daytimes, too. This past weekend, or this before this weekend, Adam Wade passed away at the age of 87. He died at his home in New Jersey of Parkinson's disease, or complications from Parkinson's disease, which he had had for some time. Adam Wade, by what he did with Musical Chairs, opened the door for people like Ahmad Rashad, Steve Harvey, other African-Americans, and other people of color on and off camera in the game show field. And I'm happy to say that if you want to see Adam Wade's Musical Chairs best, there are at least two episodes that are available to watch on YouTube. Adam was a wonderful human being. And what made him so great is that he never stopped being part of the entertainment industry. He could have used the almost 4 months of musical chairs as a setback. He didn't. He kept right on going, and he got a lot out of it. And I know that today he has a lot of respect from a lot of people in his passing. Over the weekend, I saw a Facebook posting from Steve LeBlanc, a wonderful executive who has been on our show sometime back. If you get a chance, read it. It tells you just how wonderful Adam Wade, the human being, was, where Steve asked Adam to MC a special event that he was involved with. And guess what? Adam Wade did, and did it beautifully, just like he would any assignment he had. I hope that sometime this week you get the opportunity to check out Adam Wade and his work on musical chairs. And his, I believe his appearance on To Tell the Truth is also available on YouTube. And his performances on various shows as well. And to paraphrase the theme song of his game show, let's play a game of musical chairs and give Adam Wade and ourselves a round of applause. Before we leave you today, one more thing. Little quick up item. Up is an update where we catch up on guests and topics on this program. Friday, we had a wonderful episode where our final guest was the executive producer of the $100,000 Pyramid, which made its season 6 debut after 2 years away on ABC. Of course, I'm talking about Constance Schwartz-Marini. On the opening episode last night at 10 p.m., when Michael Strahan came out, he gave us a nice fact that the 5 years that the $100,000 Pyramid has been on during the summer and early fall on ABC, the contestants on the program have won, get this, $6.6 million plus. $6.6 million plus. You can add on at least another $100,000. On the first half of the hour, two contestants won $50,000 each, right up to the top of the pyramid. And another contestant had, I think, something like $15,000, $16,000 in the second half hour. So the winning continues, and that's really, really good. So congratulations to Constance and Michael and Vin Rubino, the other executive producer of the show, as well as Rick Shapiro, the director, and everybody involved with Pyramid. It's great to see the show back. It's marvelous to see the show back taping for a live audience, at ABC Television Center in New York. Again, the show is on 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on your local ABC station. For more details, abc.com. Well, that will do it for today's episode of Tomorrow We Tell. Again, thank you to our guest, Tracy Rudolph Jackson from National Geographic Sharkfest at 10, for being with us. Once again, for more details about this festival, which is running on various channels, starting with Nat Geographic, go to natgeotv.com. Wednesday on Tomorrow We Tell, remember, we're coming your way at a special time, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, and my guest will be, leading things off, the host of Firing Line on PBS, which celebrated its 5th anniversary July 1st, Margaret Hoover. And then Friday on the program, we will have among our guests Olga Nesterova, whose 1S network that was supposed to go on the air 2.5 years ago on smart TV sets and devices, finally did this past Saturday on Amazon Fire TV and Roku, with other smart TV sets and devices coming online later this year. We'll have Olga on, plus we'll have some of the producers that are working on shows for her network. It's all coming up Wednesday and Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up an episode you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. Remember, we're available on a lot of different podcast destinations, from Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, other places as well. And remember our wonderful website, tomorrowwillbetelevised.onpodium.com. tomorrowwillbetelevised.onpodium.com. Remember, there's hyphens between the words before the onpodium.com. And remember, we'd love to hear from you. SimonApple04@yahoo.com is how you communicate with us by email. And remember to use that email for our classic trivia question of the week. One more time, let's give you the question. On the 1960s Batman television series, what villain was played at various times by George Sanders, Eli Wallach, and celebrated controversial film director Otto Preminger? SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Three prizes in play. They could be yours if you're first with the correct answer. Again, if we don't hear from anybody by the end today, we'll post a question tomorrow morning online on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. Again, we'd love to hear from you. Use that email. Also, use social media, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. I do respond to what you have to say within 24 hours. That's our commitment to you. Why? Because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed here are those of the participants. They are not, say, those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Andy Toe is BTR's general manager. Dave Sodberg is head of content. Website service provided by On Podium, the internet's new podcast outpost. Guitarist Vegas is our web coordinator. Tomorrow Be Televised was brought to you today by Audible.com, the audio marketplace of Amazon.com. Remember, Audible transforms the way you hear the world. To hear all the good stuff, go to audibletrial.com/televised. And it's a great gift for you or someone you love any time of the year. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your Monday. We're back on Wednesday with Margaret Hoover at Firing Line. Special time, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, SpeakerTune Radio, all of our podcast affiliates, and our website as well. Whatever you're doing between now and Wednesday, please make it safe and great. If you haven't been vaccinated, check with your doctor. Find out what your medical situation is. Check out on all the treatments, from monoclonal antibodies, the new pills from Pfizer and Merck, that can make a big difference in what you're dealing with. And then make a great choice. Your choice. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.